Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. That was good, wasn't it? And I thank God for grace. Amen. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have the grace of God. Amen. And so good to see everybody tonight. And boy, you've been faithful coming every night. And I appreciate you folks that have, I know you've worked all day long and then come out to church at night and had this long-winded preacher, amen, preaching to you, but I appreciate everybody being faithful. Boy, it's good to see folk. Preacher, good to see you. I didn't get to meet you, but I'm glad you're here, amen, and I love preachers, amen. I love preachers. I've been around preachers a long time, and 42 years, of course, preaching, and I've met a lot of preachers in my life. And I tell you, I just love to get around men of God, amen. Men of God, buddy, that love the Lord and love God and love the old King James Bible and love soul winning and winning people to Christ and everything. See, I bit my teeth on the old stuff, amen. There goes the preacher's wife again. I wish she'd come to church every once in a while. Amen. Amen. And riding that motorcycle. Amen. But anyway, it's a blessing. I bit my teeth on. I think about, you know, there's something special about those old men that love God. You know. Folks, I bit my teeth on Lester Roloff and Oliver B. Green and Brother Howells and John L. Rice and Curtis Hudson and all those men. I had the privilege, you know, to meet a lot of those men. Dr. Lee Robertson, and Dr. Robertson preached in my church. Dr. Robertson did. I remember last time Dr. Lee Robertson preached in my church, pastored the Highland Park Baptist Church. He was like 94 years old. 94 years old. And brother, I remember when he preached that morning in my church, that morning he preached, he only preached about 20 minutes. And I bet y'all wish y'all had a preacher like that. Amen. But he only preached about 20 minutes, and he preached about his salvation when he got saved. And it was good. It was good. Well, that night, he got up and preached the same thing, same sermon. He forgot what he had preached that morning. But you know what? It was just as good Sunday night as it was Sunday morning. Amen. And he preached about his salvation when he got saved and everything. And then he got in his car. Here he is, 94 years old, went out, got his car, and headed back driving to Chattanooga, Tennessee from Michigan. That was Dr. Robertson. He drove everywhere he went, and he'd leave Sunday night. He'd leave Sunday. Sometimes he'd drive all night long, go back, getting back to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And that was Dr. Rock. I remember the first time he ever preached for me after church that morning. I said, Dr. Robertson, I said, I'm gonna take you out to eat. And he was old then. He's probably in his 80s, you know, something like that. I'm sorry if you're in the 80s and I called you old. Amen. But I tell you what, I hope I look as good as this lady right here. When's your birthday, ma'am? When? Friday. This Friday? Next Friday. She'll be 94 years old. Good night alive. I hope I look half that good, amen, when I'm 94 years old. But praise the Lord. But old Dr. Robertson, he got up, and old Dr. Robertson, I said, I'm going to take you out to eat. And he said, I'll never forget Dr. Robertson. He said, do we have to wait on a waiter or a waitress? I mean, Dr. Robertson had that distinctive voice about him, and He wore that double-breasted suit, you know, always, and looked like a general standing there. He said, "Do I have to wait on anybody? Have to wait on the waitress, I said, "Well, no, sir. We're going to have buffet." He said, "Good, good." He said, "At my age, I don't like to wait around." Amen. You know what? He didn't have much time left. Amen. He didn't want to wait around. And Dr. Roberts, why he said that, he don't like to waste time. He wanted to be doing something. Well, he went out to eat with me that day at buffet. And I'm not kidding. I asked him one question about the Sunday school. One question about some ideas on the Sunday school. And Dr. Robertson took that paper placemat, and he turned it over and sit there over 2 hours with me, filling that whole bag full of ideas for the Sunday school. And, of course, he run 10,000 in Sunday school, you know. And Dr. Robertson filled that whole bag of ideas for the Sunday school. You see, if he was doing something worthwhile, he didn't mind taking time. But if it wasting time. But those men just had their ways about them. They had their way. Brother Howes picked on you. He cut up. He was big as cut up. I remember picking up from the airport one time. He picked on me the whole way there. He just picked on me the whole way. But that was Brother Howes. And Dr. Rice, one time I'd be riding with him. Picking up for airport or something. And Brother Rice, he'd be talking to him. Next thing you know, he'd take off praying for somebody. Right in the middle of the conversation. So I'd have to stop and wait till he's done praying. Then he'd come back, finish the conversation. And then he'd be going along, and next thing I know, he'd been talking to just like you and I talk. Next thing you know, he's praying for somebody in Arkansas or Texas or New York or somewhere. He'd take off. The Holy Spirit would put people on his mind. He'd take off praying for them right in the middle of the conversation. It was almost rude the way he did it, but he was Dr. Rice. Amen. He could do that. I remember first time I met Lester Roloff. And so, you know what? Now, you say, why are you talking about all these men? You know why? Because our younger generation has no idea who these men are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And these men paid a great price to have what we got today. I was a young preacher boy at Forest Hills Baptist Church, Dr. Curtis Hudson Church, and he was my pastor, and he had now resigned and gone with the sword. And William Pennell was my pastor now. Dr. William Pennell was my pastor. And I'll never forget, we were sitting there, brother. We were sitting there. I was sitting in the foyer waiting to meet with my pastor on Monday morning. I was waiting. And I was sitting there looking at a magazine. You know, they had some kind of Sword of Lord or something. I can't remember what it was. I was sitting there reading it. And all of a sudden, I heard the secretary, her name was Mary, she said, "Well, hey, Lester," just like that. And I looked up, and then I heard Brother Roloff, his name was Lester Roloff. He said, "Well, hey, Mary," said, "how you doing?" And she said, "Lester, what are you doing here?" Now, this is Monday morning. And he said, "I come to preach for you." And I'm talking about Monday night. He come to preach for him. He hadn't been asked. He just shows up. And she said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah, where's William at? Or Bill?" He called him Bill. He said, "Where's Bill?" Bill Penn. He said, "Where's Bill at?" She said, He's in the office there. I'll get him." She went on the intercom. She said, "Dr. Pendle said Lester Roloff's out here." And I could hear Dr. Pendle over the intercom say, "Lester, what is Lester doing here?" And he come running out. He said, "Lester, what are you doing here?" He said, "Bill, I come to preach for you tonight." And Dr. Pendle, I'll never forget, Dr. Pendle said, "Lester, what are you doing here?" "What do you mean you're coming to preach for us?" He said, "You know what?" He said, "Why didn't you call me a couple of weeks or give me a head notice, and I would announce in church Sunday and all that, and we could have let folks know." He said, "Oh, it don't matter." Said, "It don't matter." He said, "She knows about it," pointed to Mary. "You know about it," and he pointed to me. "That guy knows about it. That's all we need." Amen. And I'll never forget, Dr. Peddle looked at Mary and shook his head. And he said, "Mary," he said, "get on the phone, start calling people. We're going to have a meeting tonight. We're going to have a meeting tonight." And that night, 2,500-seat auditorium, I stood up in the balcony. It was packed out. Packed out. I mean, back then, when they had meetings, they had meetings. Can I have amen?
Amen.
They had meetings. All you had to do is announce somebody came to town. They all came. Amen. But I'll never forget that night. Brother Roloff had some of his girls singing up there. They were singing. And boy, they were a blessing. They were a blessing. And those girls sing, those girls sing and all that. They were blessed. Well, finally, Brother Roloff, he was sitting over there by Dr. Pennell on the platform. He said, "Girls, sing another one." He said, "God ain't told me what to preach yet." That's what he said. He said, "God ain't told me what to preach yet." Now, Brother Roloff was the kind of guy that he would read John 3:16 and preach against television. Amen. Amen. That's what Brother Roloff was. And old Brother Roloff, he was sitting there, and the girls sang again, and they were a blessing. And Brother Roloff said, "Sing another one." He said, "God ain't told me what to preach yet." And finally, Brother Roloff said, and Dr. Pendle just shook his head. I remember seeing Dr. Pendle on the platform just shaking his head. And finally, Brother Roloff, the girls got to the same. Brother Roloff got up and he said, "Well," he said, "I don't know." He said, "Let's just see what God's got." And he took his Bible. I'm not kidding. He took the Bible and just threw it down on the pulpit like that. And wherever it opened, Brother Roloff started looking a little bit. Then he said, "I believe tonight," he said, he never did have a direct title for a message. He said, "But I believe tonight, I believe I'm going to preach the message where the hippie hung himself." or the mule walked on. He wasn't sure which one to name that man. He either named it the hippie walked on, got that hung himself, talking about Absalom. Absalom in the Bible. And he said, "Or the mule that walked on." He wasn't sure whatever title he named that message. But old Brother Roloff took off preaching, buddy. And I'm going to tell you, the power of God came down in that building, buddy. And I mean, the altars were packed. Amen. And Brother Roloff, he preached against everything. I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about from doctors to everything. Amen. He preached against everything. And buddy, but old Brother Roloff, buddy, had God on him. Amen. All those men were different. I remember B.R. Lakin. Dr. Lakin, B.R. Lakin. Some of you may not have ever heard Dr. Lakin. He was an old circuit rider. Rode the horses and preached. And brother, you know who I'm talking about. He was an old circuit rider preacher through the mountains and preached. But we picked him up one time from the airport. And he didn't ride his horse to the airport. Amen. But it was about planes. He was flying on a plane. And I remember, I'll never forget, first time I picked up B.R. Lakin. And old Dr. Lakin, I said, I got in the car. And he said, "Get out of the car." Now, this is the first time I ever met him. I'm just a young preacher, boy. And I got in the car. He said, "Get out of the car. Get out of the car." I got out of the car. He said, "Take your coat off." I took my dress coat off. He said, "Lay it in the back seat neatly." And he said, "Now, let me teach you something." He said, "When you get in the car, don't get in the car with your dress coat on, because you may be standing before people if you're a preacher and your coat be wrinkled." I said, yes, sir. Folks, today, before I get in the car, I lay my coat in the back seat. Amen. You say, preacher, who's he think he are? He was B.R. Lakin. Amen. Those men of God, we had a lot of respect for and still do. Can I have amen? They were great men of God. Great men of God. And had the privilege to be around. God was on them. God was on them. Now, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but you know, I believe that we need those kind of men back in our generation again. Amen. We need good old fashioned. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about just somebody. You know Wendell Runyon. Wendell Runyon. Brother Runyon's a great man of God. And just recently, I preached in Asheville, North Carolina, and I got to be with Brother Runyon. He used to put up the tent for Ralph Sexton Sr. Ralph Sexton Sr., he said, and we went by his radio station. He's got two radio stations now, Brother Runyon does. He's responsible now. They've got 251 churches they've started worldwide, Brother Runyon has. Great man of God. I doubt I'll be shocked if he lives another year. His heart is failing and he can't travel anymore and preach or nothing. But he sat there at the desk. Listen to this. He said, preacher, I doubt I'll live another year. That's what he told me. But my goal is before I die that over 500 churches would be started before I die. But you know, there's something about them old men have vision. Can I have amen? They got vision. They burn with vision. And you know, your church ought to burn with vision. Amen? And our Brother Runyon took us down there to the roughest section of town in Asheville. He said, right here, back in Ralph Sexton day, he and his brother had gotten saved. And he said, they went up in the mountain. You could see the tallest mountain there in the Asheville, North Carolina. It's in the mountains. And him and his brother took some railroad ties and soaked them in some kerosene for days. And then they took those railroad ties up there and set them on fire and came back. And you could see it lit up, that mountain up there. Top of that mountain over Asheville. And they set up on a corner where those most wicked people were. And they started preaching, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. And they started preaching on the judgment of God. And Brother Runyon said people were literally running and hiding behind bushes under conviction. Under conviction. And he said, and he said, let me show you something. And he took me to the river right down from that wicked place where the prostitutes and the alcohol and everything, bootleggers, everything, wicked part of Asheville. He took me down to the river there. He said, right here on one Sunday afternoon, we baptized over 500 converts. Over 500 converts. He said they were preaching and getting people saved and revival was breaking out. Folks, there was something about those men. Can I have amen? And Brother Runyon took me around and showed me where the great revivals broke out. And I just sat there like a kid listening to him as he shared all that. And folks, I'm telling you, I would like to see God do it again. Amen. And I believe God could do it right here in Terre Haute. I believe that. Amen. I believe God could do that here. And you live in a wicked city. I've been out there door knocking. Can I have amen? And there's a lot of people in a mess here tonight. And I want to preach to you tonight. I want to preach to you tonight. And last night I preached on having faith in God, basically. Amen. Basically, what we need revival. We need revival on soul winning. We need revival on prayer again. We need revival on church attendance again. We need revival on tithing again. We need revival in giving and faithfulness and all that. We need revival there. But folks, I'm telling you, but we need revival, and I believe if we can have revival in what I preached on last night, I believe with all my heart that we can have revival in all those things. I believe we just need a good old dose of revival of believing in God again. I said believing in God. Amen. And I talked to you last night about believing in God. When you believe in God, that means you're going to put action in the gear. You're going to be doing something. You're going to be moving forward for God if you believe. Anywhere in the Bible, when you see faith is being practiced, they're moving. They're doing something for God. Amen. I mean, from David and Goliath to Daniel to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I'm talking about right up. Buddy, I mean, even when Jesus did miracles, he told them to do something. He told them to make a move first. Amen? Amen. Why? He wanted to see their faith. He wanted to see if they believe in God. And without action, there'll be no reaction from God.
Right.
Faith without works is dead. Amen? Yes, faith without works is dead. You put works with your faith, God's going to react. And it's going to be alive. Your church is going to be alive.
Yes,
when you do that. Now, tonight, what I want to do tonight is I want to just put a little extension on that tonight. Why is it that our churches tonight have lost faith? They've lost faith in God. And I go everywhere, and I go all over the country. I go all over the world, and it's a shame that God's people. Hey, look, if anybody ought to believe in God, it ought to be us. Amen.
Amen.
If anybody ought to be, I mean, saved our soul from hell. Amen. And I mean, if anybody ought to believe in God, it ought to be us tonight.
Amen.
But something has hindered our faith. Something has hindered us from living for God and having faith in God and believing in God. I said last night, why would I go tell other people I really don't believe He can do it? Why would I go tell other people about a God that I don't even believe He can do it? Why would I read a book about a God when I don't really believe in the God of that book? Can I have amen?
Amen.
Why would I talk to a God that I don't even really believe in the God I'm talking to? And so tonight, something's hindered our faith. I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I want you to take your Bibles here. Is this red one okay, brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There you go. Tonight, take your Bibles tonight and go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And I want to show you a few things tonight. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and by the way, 36 people's been saved this week. Hey, let me stop here just a minute. Did y'all hear 36 people got saved this way? Hey, let me say that again. Amen. Hey, preach, I remember a day when Baptists used to get excited about that. Amen. Hey, folks, did you hear 36 people got saved this way? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, the Bible says they're rejoicing over in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. But they must be having a disco up there tonight. Amen. Can I have amen?
buddy, they must be going on up there. And Mike, good to see you tonight, buddy. Good to see you back tonight. He got saved this week back to church tonight. Now look in Mark chapter 4 and look in verse 35. And let's stand out of respect to the Word of God tonight. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the Bible says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full." By the way, let me just stop here just a minute. How many of you ever felt like your boat's full? Can I have amen? You ever felt like you're about to sink? You're about to sink there. I think I'm going to lose this one probably eventually. You feel like you're about to sink tonight? I believe, look, life can be so full sometimes that it just feels like you can't keep going on. Amen? You want to switch this one out here? We got plenty of these. Amen? We just keep swapping them. Amen? But look what the Bible says here in verse 38. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Now, folks, Jesus was worried about this storm. Can I have amen? He was really concerned. Can you amen? He's really concerned about. Really worried about what's happening here on this earth. Can I have amen? Hey, but look what the Bible said in verse 38. "He was asleep on the pillow, and they awake him, and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Boy, that's a stupid question. Amen. That's a stupid question. Lord does care. Can I have amen? The Lord does care. Hey, in verse 39, "And he arose." Boy, there he is arising again. Amen. We see Jesus arising. Amen. And look what the Bible said. "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why? Why are ye so fearful?" By the way, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear's the opposite of faith. Look what he said. "How is it that you have no faith?" He said, "How is it that you have no faith?" He can't understand that. He can't understand. How is it you have no faith? I mean, they had seen everything he had done. They had seen the miracles. Amen. And now, I mean, They saw him calm the sea. But they seen all that. And how is that they're so fearful and they have no faith? But look what the Bible says in verse 41. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this?" What manner of man? What manner of man? Folks, this is not just a man. This is God. Amen. This is God. And how in the world can they just say, what manner of man is this? Look how low their faith had gone that they're not even calling him God now. Amen. Now look what he said. "That even the wind and the sea obey him." Father, I come to you tonight, and I pray now in the next few moments, Lord, that you would give me your power. I pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that, God, that you would just do something special tonight. And, Lord, I can't do this without you, God. And and I can't even breathe without you, Lord. And I pray that you'd move in this tent tonight, Lord. And might everybody forget now what they got to do afterwards, or what problems are waiting on them, and difficulties or whatever, Lord, or responsibilities or things like that. Now, Lord, they didn't come to get out; they come to get in, God. And I'm asking you, God, that you would get in here tonight. And Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without you, Lord. And I pray that, God, that whatever's done in this room tonight, Lord, this tent, I pray that, God, I promise you, Lord, that the same thing that I've done every night, I've gone to my room and laid flat on that floor and give God all the glory, because you deserve every bit of it. In your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent name, Jesus, amen. You may be seated there. Preacher, am I going to lose this one too? Let me go on the blue one.
Let's try the blue one. Okay, there you go. Amen. I want tonight, I want to talk to you tonight. I'm going to just give you tonight about four or five things, truths that I see that these men lost sight of. And by the way, don't criticize these men, because we do the same thing. We do the same thing. We lose sight. We let things hinder our faith. Amen. But as I looked at this and I began to study and read it, God began to show me some things that I'd never seen before. I'd never seen before. And God began to show me some things that they lost sight of. They lost sight of. And folks, if there's ever a day that we're living, we don't need Christians to lose sight. We don't need Christians to lose sight. We don't need to lose faith. Amen. We've got to stay in this thing, and we got to have faith in God all the way to the end on this thing, and watch God do something. Hey, buddy. Amen. And so tonight I want to give you some things that I feel like that they lost sight of, that maybe you might have lost sight of too in your life. The first thing that I see that they lost sight of, they lost sight of the promise. Can I have amen? Now, look in verse 35. Keep your Bibles open. Look in verse 35, chapter 4. The Bible says, "And the same day, when the evening was come, he said." Now, who is he? Jesus. Amen. He said what? He said, "Let us pass over unto the what? The other side." Now, folks, he already told them we're going to the other side. That's a promise. That's a promise right there. He said right there in the scripture, he said, "Let us pass over to the other side." And what happened is they forgot what he said in that verse. Can I have amen? They already forgot that God said, let's get in the ship and let's pass over to the, now why would God say that if they were going to sink? Can I have amen? Hey, he already promised them we're going to the other side. Folks, let me tell you something. I'm going to the other side. Amen. In this life, buddy, the storms may rage and they may hit me sometime and they may feel like they're about to sink my boat. Amen. And about to go down. But let me tell you something, buddy. But God's already promised me I'm going to the other side. Amen. There's a heaven waiting on me. There's a golden shore waiting on me, buddy. And one day, buddy, this old life's going to pass away, buddy, and I'm going to fly away. Amen. I'm going to some glad morning when this life is over, buddy.
I'm going to fly away, amen, and I'm going to hit that golden shore, buddy. I tell you what, it don't matter what comes in your life. It don't matter what comes your way. He said, I promise you, I go there to prepare a place for you. And someday, when you come there, I'll be there with you. Amen. I'll be there. You're coming there today. Hey, thank God. Thank God He's prepared a mansion for me. Amen. He's already got a place for me. He promised me that there. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart. You know what He's saying? Don't lose faith. Don't lose faith. Amen. Hey, just keep marching on for God. Believe in God. Why? Because He's promised He's got another side waiting on us. Amen. Folks, look, you can't lose. I said you can't lose. The day you bowed your head and cried out and said, God, I'm a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. Buddy, heaven's your home. Amen. Heaven's your home, buddy. And, buddy, I thank God for that promise. Amen. I thank God, buddy. That boy, I think some golden daybreak, Jesus is going to come. Amen. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to check out. Amen. And no matter what storms, when the storms come and the rages come, I know there's a better day coming. Can I have amen? And that promise is there. That promise is there. And don't ever lose sight of the promise. Amen. You may have a bad day, but it's not eternal. Amen. It's not eternal. There's going to be a better day. And then so these men lost sight of His promise. And let me say this, second of all, they lost sight of His presence. I said they lost sight of His presence. Now, look what the Bible says. It says, and the same day when the evening was come, He said to them, let us pass over on the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was a hinder part of the ship. He was in the hinder part of the ship. You know what? They lost sight. They were out there fearful and frightened on that ship. Fearful of their life, and the boat was filling and full of water and everything else. And listen, and the problem was they were looking at their circumstance. They were looking at their circumstance and things they were going through. But the whole time, Jesus was there. He was right there in their presence. Amen. He was right there in their presence. You know what? The problem is that reason a lot of times that we lose our faith, we don't even realize He's right there. Amen. He's right there when the tough times come and the battles come. Hey, Jesus is right there. Amen. He's right there. He was in the boat. He was in the boat. Amen. He was with them the whole time. And they're fearful about sinking. They're fearful about losing their lives. They've lost their faith that God is right there. God is right there. Folks, you know, the Bible says that Jonah fled the presence of the Lord. Notice it did not say that it fled the person of the Lord. But he fled the presence of the Lord when he got away from God. Now, there's a statement there that I'm trying to show you here. You know why a lot of Christians get away from God? Because they forget His presence. They forget. When's the last time you felt the presence of God? When's the last time that you were... Now, don't leave me. Don't get out of the boat yet. Amen. You stay with me tonight. Folks, I'm telling you, you know what's the problem tonight with a lot of Christians? They don't feel His presence every day. You know, I'm telling you, I remember years ago, Larry Brown and I was my bus director. I was his bus director. He wasn't mine. I was his. And I was his bus director. And Brother Brown always, a lot of times he would ask me to run to the hospital for him or do things, you know. And Brother Brown said, can you drive to Des Moines, Iowa? Can you drive to Des Moines, Iowa? About 2 hours away, one of the men's dad is having surgery, and I need you to go for me. I said, I'll go, Pastor. I got in my van, and I was going down. I left Washington, Iowa, and I'm going down the road. Right when I got out of there, I started going along. And all of a sudden, it's just back cornfields. There's nothing but cornfields, soybeans, and hogs. Amen. So I'm going back the back road through Oskaloosa and on through the Des Moines, Iowa, and all that. And I pulled my car, my van over on the side of the road. I pulled my van over on the side of the road and I got out. I got out of my van and I walked around to the other side and I opened the door. And I had some books and stuff in the seat there, you know. And so I took them out of the front seat there and I put them in the back. I put them in the back seat and then I turned around and I looked up. I looked up into heaven. And I said, Lord, I said, would you come and ride with me today? I said, Lord, would you? Now cars are passing by and they see me out there. They probably thought I was crazy, but I'm sitting there looking up into heaven like this. I said, Lord, would you come and get in my van with me today? I said, whoa, wait a minute, Lord, wait. And I looked because there was some crackers, you know, in the seat, crumbs. You know, Baptist preachers have crumbs in their seat, amen. And so I sit over there and I brushed those crumbs out of the seat. And I said, Lord, is that good enough for you? Is that good enough? And so then I shut the, of course I could almost see Lord saying up there in heaven, I could almost see him saying, I'm not getting in that van with you, amen. I'm not the way you drive, amen. And so I went there and I said, cut this one on here. It's going in and out on me. Cut this one on here. I'll try my best to stay behind it, amen. And if I can, that's rough, amen, for an evangelist. So he said, I said, Lord, would you ride with me today? And I shut the door, and I walked around to the other side, and I got in the van, and I started going down the road. And then I looked, as I was driving along, I said, Lord, I'm not asking you for anything. I said, Lord, I didn't want you to ride with me because I didn't want you to ride with me. Let me have some water, please, brother. I said, Lord, I'm not asking you to just ride with me. And just so I could ask you for something, just to, maybe for personal things. But I said, Lord, the reason I want you to ride with me today is because I just want to tell you how much I love you. And I just said, Lord, I love you so much, God. I said, Lord, I love you so much, God.
I said, Lord, I just want you to know that I love you. And Lord, you're all I need, God. You're every bit all I need. You've provided everything for me, God. I'm not asking you for anything, God. All I want to do is I want to have your presence, amen, in this van. And I'm telling you, for 2 hours or longer, man, God got in that van, amen. And I felt the presence of God, amen. The presence of God. And buddy, I'm telling you what's missing in our churches today, what's missing in our Christians today, there's no presence of God, amen. And when you get God's presence and you feel God, you know God's there. You know you got, you can feel God, amen. And He is all, and you know God is there. But I'm telling you what, our churches will have revival tonight. Our church, and you'll come in here believing God because you walked with Him today. You talked with Him today. You knew He was there, amen. You felt God. You felt God. Oh, God, help us tonight to have the presence of God again in our lives. I'm talking about every Christian, amen. I'm talking, what do you think would happen if you got the presence of God, amen? What do you think would happen if you got the presence of God, and you and you and you and you and everybody on this side and everybody here and everybody on this side? What do you think would happen, amen, in our church services, amen? I'll tell you what, the preacher wouldn't have to get up and make you say amen, amen. Buddy, I'll tell you what, you tears will start flowing when you start singing songs, amen, about the Lord, amen. I mean, buddy, you'd run in this tent, ready for preaching, ready for God to do something, amen. Why? Because you feel His presence, amen. God, help us tonight to get the presence of God. It'll build your faith in God again. They lost His presence. He was right there. He was right there in the boat. And then let me say this. Number three, they lost sight. They lost sight of His power. Amen. They lost sight of His power. Hey, listen, folks. They had already seen miracles. They had already seen Him do miracles. I mean, they saw Him heal people. Nobody's ever been able to heal people like that. Nobody had ever. I mean, they saw demonic people, demons cast out. They saw they not the greatest power they knew of is His salvation, that He saved them. Can I have amen? Amen. Folks, they had already. They already had seen His power. Right. They had already seen it, and now they're saying, They lost the fact that He is all powerful. They forgot that He, could touch and heal, and take care of problems with His power. With His power, you know what's missing our churches today? We forgot God's got power. Amen. We've lost His power. We've forgotten the power of God. We've forgotten how God can save sinners. We've forgotten how God can shake a church, amen, and how God can shake a city, and how God can... I'm telling you, God can do it, amen. God can do it. We just need to get back to believing God, amen, that His power will come down on us. Oh, well, them were the old days. God don't do that anymore. God don't do that more. He can't do that anymore. Oh, yes, He can. Can I have amen? Right now, there's revivals going on across this country you don't even know about. The power of God is falling. Right there in Burlington, North Carolina. Right there in Burlington, North Carolina. There's one been going on 9-1. They've already set that thing to go 2 more months. Boy, what would y'all do if God came down in here and the preacher got up and said, look, we're going to carry this revival on 2 more months. You know what? You say, I know what some of you say. Some of you get said, well, I don't know about that, you know. I don't think God wants that, amen. I don't think God is in that, amen. You know why? Because you haven't felt His presence. You haven't felt His power. Amen. You haven't seen His power. You have not seen the power of God. Folks, I've seen God's power. I've seen God move in such a mighty way. That, buddy, look, I was preaching in Haiti. And God came down on us, brother. I mean, we had missionaries. We had people praying, fasting. I'm saying fasting and praying and asking God to do something. Folks, I'm telling you, what would happen if everybody in here said, you know what, maybe you can't fast 40 days. Maybe you can't fast that long. But maybe you could go a day. Or maybe you could go and miss a meal. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I fasted all night last night. Amen. Hey, but maybe you can't do that. But maybe you can do something to say, God, I want your power. Amen. I want God to move in our church. But we have people, I'm not kidding, preacher. There was missionaries praying, went 40 days without eating and praying that God would do something. When I left there, over 17,000 people were saved. Over 17,000 people were saved. I mean, revival broke out. Churches were started. Preachers, I mean, there were preachers that came that were not even independent Baptists. And now they're Baptists. Amen. Now they're Baptists and they're winning souls and got their doctrine straight and everything. Why? Because of the power of God. Amen? The power of God. I'm telling you, it can still happen. Amen? Have you lost faith in God that God's power can move again? Oh, God, help us. God, help. Well, America's in a mess and we got these homosexuals and these and I agree with you. I don't like any of it.
That's right. Amen.
I hate every bit of it.
Yep.
I'm not for it. I'm not for their ungodliness. I'm not for their wickedness. I hate liquor tonight. I said I hate liquor tonight. I hate drugs tonight. I hate the filth that's on our phones and our televisions and our internets and everything. It's not a hell tonight. It's not a hell tonight, and I hate it tonight.
Amen.
But that's not the problem. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Amen. And God said, then will I hear their prayer. Then will I heal their land. Amen. It's God's people that has the problem tonight. We need to believe God again. We need to go to God and beg God for His power and ask God to do something tonight. I'm telling you tonight that God's power, they lost sight of God's power. I don't believe we've got that in our churches today. Well, the church is in a mess. It's the preacher's fault. Amen. No, it's people's fault. And I'm telling you, it's from the preacher to the pew. Can I have amen? We need revival night, and it's God. We don't believe God tonight, and we've lost His power. We've lost His presence. Can I have amen? We've lost sight of those things. We've lost sight tonight. Not only that, let me tell you what these disciples love. They lost sight of His position. His position. You say, what are you talking about? Well, in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this? Folks, they lost sight of who He is. Can I have amen? His position is, He is the Son of God. Amen. He is God, okay? I don't care what the Jehovah's false witness say. Amen. I don't care what they say. Hey, Jesus is God. Amen. He's just as much God. And they had all the God they need in that boat. They had all the God they need in that boat. And they lost sight. He's the one that created the water. He's the one that created the boat, the wood that goes on the boat. He's the one that created the wind. Amen. He is. He's the one that was there in the beginning and spoke, and the galaxies existed. Amen. The one that's in the boat. The one that's in the boat is the one that spoke, and the galaxies existed, and the earth hung upon nothing. Amen. And he spoke, and he created this whole world, this whole universe, the whole galaxy, and everything. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. Hey, the Bible says he knows every name of every star. Yeah, amen. Bible says, and by the way, the only stars I know is the candy bar ones. Amen. Mars and Milky Way and Butterfinger and Snickers. I don't know. But anyway, hey, but he knows every name. He knows how many they are. Amen. He created them. The very one that spoke and the galaxy is in the boat. He's in the boat. Amen. He's right there in the boat. And they lost sight of his position, who he was. They're scared of a little wind. The one that spoke and created that wind. Can I have amen? So you're saying, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that they lost sight. They lost sight of the promise. They lost sight of his presence. They lost sight of his power. And they lost sight of his position. And then let me say this last of all. They lost sight of his plan. I want to show you something. tonight. Take your Bibles, and I'm going to show you something tonight. And I'm going to try to turn this one back on here. Cut me back on. The Bible says, I tell you what, when I grab for it, you turn it on, okay? All right. I keep them busy. Amen. Amen. But let's go now to chapter 5. Everybody got your Bibles? Everybody got your Bible? Let's go to chapter 5. And look in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. Now, by the way, they made it. Can I have amen? In case some of you are worried, they made it. Amen. Just like you'll make it. Can I have amen? God will help you to make it. Now look in verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, stay with me just a minute. I want you to picture this. I want you to try to picture this in your mind. Here's a boy, a young boy that's demon possessed. And by the way, he is loaded with demons. This boy, over 2,000 demons possess this boy. And this boy is in a graveyard, sitting there. Stay with him now. He's sitting there. And he's literally, day and night, no rest in that boy's life. No peace in that boy's life. And day and night, that boy's sitting there. And now picture it. And by the way, this is somebody's boy. Amen. There's some mama probably crying at home and worried about her boy that's demon possessed in a graveyard somewhere. And he's sitting there day and night. And he's sitting there cutting himself. And he's going, day and night, that boy is full of demons, and there's no peace in his life. And that boy is going, and by the way, and you can say what you want to say, but it's just as much today that's going on as it was then. Why do you think young people cut themselves? Why do you think young people, look, I was traveling back from, I was coming back from one of the mission fields that I've been on. I've been coming back from a mission field, and I had to fly into Miami. And I flew into Miami, and then I took a plane and flew from Miami to Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I live only 30, 40 minutes from Charlotte, North Carolina. But I had to get on a plane and fly all the way to Detroit to get my car and drive all the way back to North Carolina. And so I got on a plane in Charlotte. And when I did, this young girl sat beside me, and I think she was about 19 or somewhere in that age there. And we were sitting there, and we got in our seats and getting ready to take off and stuff. And all of a sudden, I just kind of glanced over at her. And when I did, I saw scars all along her arm, her arms. I didn't say anything. And, well, we began to go, and she said, "Where are you coming from?" I said, "Well, I'm coming from Dominican Republic. I've been to Haiti and Dominican Republic and stuff, and I had to fly into Miami, and I told her I had to fly to Charlotte. Then I got to fly to Detroit to get my car and drive." And she said, "Well, I live in Adrian, Michigan." I said, "I know exactly where Adrian, Michigan is. I preached in Adrian, Michigan." And she said, oh yeah. And so I gave her the name of a church there. Well, she was sitting there, and she said, "Well, so you're a preacher?" And I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Well, I guess you think I'm a bad girl, don't you?" I said, "Well, honey, I've never really even thought that." I said, "I really didn't even think that about you." I said, "You seem like a sweet girl to me." She said, "Well, I guess you saw my arms and the scars and stuff on my arm." She said, "Let me tell you how I got all that." She said, "My daddy, by the way, usually why them kids do that, because somebody's hurt them, and they're trying to cover up all that hurt by hurting themselves." And that girl, her daddy was hooked on heroin, and her daddy used to come home every day or many times and just beat her to a pulp, beat that little girl to a pulp. And that little girl, I said, "Oh, my goodness, son." She told me the rough life she had growing up. And she said, "But, you know," she said, they finally took me out of home, and I've been in several foster homes and everything. And I said, "Well, honey, let me ask you a question." I said, "If you died, you know me, I'm going to pop the question." I said, "If you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven?" She said, "Well, I used to didn't know that, but last year I got saved." She said, "I got saved." She said, "Let me tell you where I got saved at." She said, "I got saved at the county fair." She said, "I went to county fair, and these people came out there with some punch and cookies and stuff like that and said, 'Would you like to come in our tent? We've got some punch and cookies and stuff.' And it was free." She said, "I thought, wow, free, I'll take it." She got in there, and they had gospel tracts and stuff, and they presented the gospel to that little girl, and she got saved at 10. She was looking for a church, and I told her about the church that there in Adrian, Michigan, a good fundamental church. But I looked at that little girl, but she had gotten in the satanic mess, and she had a gothic look about her. Her hair was black and stuff like that. And folks, I'm telling you, listen to me, it's just as much today as it was then. And but as I think about this boy, he was possessed, and he was, you know, he's sitting there day and night, and he's cutting himself, you know, and cutting himself. And can you picture all this? Can you picture? I mean, what was that? What if that was your child? What was that? What? How would you feel as a mom? How would you feel as your daddy and everything? But we see that boy sitting there, and he's cutting himself, and he's doing all this. But let's look at the rest of the verse, though. The verse is there. Look in verse 6. "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he" what? "Ran and worshiped it." Wait a minute.
He ran and worshiped him. He's not saved. This kid's not saved. Amen. He's full of demons. He's full. Matter of fact, we're going to see in a few minutes, Jesus talked to the demons in him. And this boy is full of demons, but the Bible says he ran and worshiped him. That's interesting. Why did he run to him? Why did he run and worship him? Well, look what, let's finish it out. Stay with me now. Look what the Bible says in verse 7. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And for he said unto him, now Jesus is speaking. Now he's speaking to the demons. Look what he said. For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." We are many. And he besought him, which that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us unto the swine, that we may eat unto them." Now stay with me. Now they're saying, the demon said, "Send us to the swine." The pigs. By the way, that's where they belong. Amen. And so look in verse 13. And Jesus, verse 13, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine." By the way, that's where we get devil's ham from. Anyway, I just kidding, amen. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they, and those who were about 2,000 of that ran the sea, and they that fed the swine fled and took it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they were afraid. Folks, look at me. Look at that old boy got saved. Amen. That old boy got saved. And Jesus changed him. But I want you to picture real quick. I want you to picture this in your mind, what happened. I believe that happened that day. Stay with me. You say, what made that boy run to Jesus? What made him run and fall and worship Jesus? I'll tell you what I believe it was. Now, it doesn't show it in the script. It doesn't tell it in the scripture. But I believe this is what caused that boy to run. That day, that boy was in the grave, a graveyard. And I mean, literally, the demons were just controlling him. And he was taking broken pieces and glass and stuff. And that boy sitting there cutting himself day and night. I mean, it's like, and he's cutting himself day and night. And I mean, there's no peace in that boy's life. There's no sleep. He was out of his mind. He stripped his clothes off. He was wicked. He was cutting and screaming and no peace. But I believe what happened, all of a sudden that storm came. All of a sudden that storm come. And all of a sudden it was... And that boy, that's exactly, he was in the storm. And he's being blown around and everything. And that didn't bother him because that's what his life was like. That's what his whole life was like. But then all of a sudden, he looked out there, and he's looking out there at the sea, and all of a sudden he saw a ship out there, a boat being tossed and turned and everything. And he looked at it and said, "That's the way my life is. That's the way my life is. There's no peace. And I'm being thrown around in storm and tormented by demons. And there's no rest. And there's no peace in my life. And then all of a sudden, he's looking at that and probably laughing and thinking it's funny or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he sees somebody step out on the hull of that ship. He saw somebody step out on the hull of that ship. And all of a sudden, he saw somebody go, "Peace, be still." And that storm was going, "Wow." And all of a sudden, everything got peaceful. And that boy said, "That's what I need. I need somebody to calm the storm in my life. I need somebody to bring peace in my life." And that's why when Jesus touched that soul, that boy ran to Jesus. Amen. And that boy got saved. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, when's the last time people saw peace in your life? When's the last time people saw that God calms every storm in your life? That God takes you through every storm. And you're still believing in God. Amen? And you still believe God can answer prayer. And that God can do anything. Amen? Hey, when's the last time? Are people out there looking at you and you're saying, "Hey, let me tell you how good God is. I lost my wife to cancer. Yeah, my wife died with bone cancer." And I'm talking about my wife personally, myself. I lost my wife to bone cancer. But I still believe God. Amen. And people have seen that. And thousands of people have gotten saved because of that. You know why? Because I believe God. I believe God. Amen. I believe that God, if the storms may come, the hard times may come, your ship may be full, buddy, but you let people see the peace of God in your life and that you believe God tonight. And let God show them how real your God is tonight. Can I have amen? Folks, we're never going to have a revival as long as we walk around moping that God can't do it. We're never going to see God bring revival to our church. Hey, listen. You want God to do something in this church? You want God to bring revival in this church? Believe God! Amen! Go believe in God and let people know my God is real. And my God, you know how you're not going to lose sight of that? Hey, don't forget His promise. Amen. Don't forget His presence. Have His presence in your life every day. Every day. Get God's presence in your life. Amen. Let Him walk. You walk with Him. You talk with Him. You love Him. Amen. Throw your arms around God every day and tell Him how much you love Him. Amen. Hey, and I'm telling you what, and you let God, you pray for God's power. God, I believe you can do it. I'm praying for the power of God. I'm praying for revival. Amen. I believe God's power. I believe He can do it again. And don't you forget His position, who He is. Don't you brag on God. You lift Him up. He is God. Amen. He is the God of God. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. Amen. And you lift Him up. And don't you forget the plan. Don't you forget the plan. The plan why God takes you through the storm is that more people will be saved. Amen. That you'll be able to bring more people to Jesus Christ. You'll be able to bring more people to Jesus Christ. Those guys lost sight of the plan. Amen. The plan was to get to the other side to win that demon-possessed boy to Christ. Why did God take me through what He took me through? Why did God take my wife from me? I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't have led that lady today to the Lord. I wouldn't have led those three fellows to Christ and that other woman to Christ today. I wouldn't have led those folks to the Lord yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. If I wouldn't be here. I would not be here if God had not taken me through the storm. God has a plan. Can I have amen? And God has a plan. Your plan, final plan, is to bring other people to Jesus Christ. Whatever the storm is, believe God. Believe God. And let God do a miracle in your life. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask the pianist.